In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. He will direct your paths. Let's pray. Father, we know that your word is alive and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. And we desire that it would live in our hearts, that we would be able to remember it and keep it and honor you with obeying it. I pray this morning that the words of my lips and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing unto you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Prepare the minds and bless these people to hear and to be able to respond, being led by your Spirit. We are your people, and we sang about that this morning. We thank you, Lord, for calling us out of darkness into light. And we know that you have given us a task to do. Help us to listen well and to respond to you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, the heart was mentioned three times in this passage. It says, but to keep my commands in your heart. My commands, I think, in this sense, can refer to also the commands of Jesus and God. Let love, the essence of God, and faithfulness, an attribute of God, be in your heart. So, when your heart is filled with God's commands and love and faithfulness, I think we can trust it. I think we can allow our heart to lead us when it is filled with these things. On the other hand, it goes on to say that the mind, our understanding, which I think is comprised of attributes like being rational, using common sense, being logical, and these are positive, good attributes that we should try to have. But then it goes on to say that we should not trust in our own understanding, our mind. Why? Why do you think we should not trust in our own understanding? Quite simply, I want to suggest to you one reason. I think it is because the mind, our understanding, is limited to one dimension, humanly speaking. And God operates in different dimensions. And so if we want to know him, and if we want to follow him and obey his commands, we have to fill our hearts with his word, with love, with faithfulness, and be led by those things in our heart instead of trusting our logical, common sense, rational, one-dimensional mind. As good as it is, as good as we train it to be, we have to be careful because it is one dimension. Why? Because in order to accomplish God's purpose for this world, it often means doing things that simply go against our mind, our common sense, our logical, rational mind. And if we let that lead us, we're going to miss out on a lot of what God has for us. For example, in 1986, Joan and I left with our two boys. At that time, they were ages 1 and 3, on our way to Colombia to be missionaries. And we went to Costa Rica first to learn Spanish. And so we were in Costa Rica with about 300 other students that were from different denominations, going to different countries, and we were studying Spanish. We stayed there about 10 months. I think it was around the 7th month that we got called to a meeting by our school, along with 25 other people. And we looked around and we recognized all these other people that were with us in this meeting were people going to Colombia as well. The school had received a letter from the U.S. Embassy in Colombia, and they went on to read it. And it said that they had just finished capturing the number one drug lord in Colombia. At that time, his name was Carlos Leder. And they captured him in a surprise attack and extradited him to Miami, Florida. And there he was held captive and probably never to return. His cartel, in response, sent a letter to the Colombian government saying that if he is not returned alive we will kill 100 missionaries in Colombia. Welcome to Colombia. We had a decision to be made. The U.S. Embassy was recommending that we don't go to Colombia at that time. We had to make a decision. We phoned our senior missionary at that time, who we had not met yet, and we asked him, what should we do? And he said to us, are you called here? We said, yes. He said, are you sure? We said, we are sure. He said, then come. There's no better place to be than in the center of God's will. And so we went. Contrary to what our mind was telling us, contrary to what logical, common sense, rational mind would say in the face of much danger, we didn't want to miss out on what God has for us. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways follow Him. We went through some very difficult circumstances in Colombia. We went through robberies, held at gunpoint, tied up. But much fruit came out of our discipleship efforts. Today there are several people from those discipleship groups and the ministry that we started there that are serving the Lord as missionaries in many different places around the world. And the last year that we were there, 2001, was probably our best year in terms of ministry and fruit. And we had 17 people in this training program that we were running. And from several different countries. And we sensed God was telling us to leave Colombia. It's over. And we're going, no. We're here for life. We've committed ourselves to you, God, to be missionaries here. There is much more to be done. And we heard this back to us. No, leave Colombia. It didn't make sense to us in our minds. And yet we needed to follow. We needed to obey. This was a good thing, we felt. And yet God was saying, no, you need to go. So we obeyed. And we left Colombia. We returned to Canada. We didn't see that coming at all. For 4 years, we were working in a mission as missions director in a Bible college in Saskatchewan. Very good experience. We look back now and we can see God was definitely leading. We were very pleased to be able to follow God with our hearts and not our minds at that point. And then God took us to Mexico. And most people were saying to us at that time, you're crazy. You're crazy to give up a good, stable job, go and raise support and live by faith and go to an unstable country like Mexico. And it was a bit crazy. But when the Lord was speaking to us in our heart and saying, do this, we had to again say, okay, we're not going to lean on our own understanding. We're going to acknowledge Him and follow Him. And so we did. And there are many examples in scriptures that tell us the same thing, that show us the same thing. I just thought of a few. Philip was having a very successful ministry in Jerusalem. And it says in Acts chapter 8, if you read through several verses, how he was seeing signs and wonders and people coming to faith among the Gentiles. And then the Lord says to him, leave. Go out to the desert. And I'm imagining Philip saying, what? I've got much more to do here. I'm having a thriving ministry. You want me to leave this and go to the desert where nobody is living? Yes. And so he goes. And he meets the Ethiopian eunuch. And who knows what kind of influence that had on Ethiopia as he gave himself to faith and to understanding God and following Him and being baptized. It sounded illogical. Against his mind, but he went. Paul had a thriving missionary career. We know that. All through Acts, his missionary journeys. He's getting near the end in Acts chapter 20 and 21. And he's turning his face to return to Jerusalem. And everybody is saying to him, don't go. Don't return to Jerusalem. They're going to kill you there. He says, that's not the point. I'm ready to die if that happens. I have a job to do. And it says in Acts chapter 20, verse 22, that he was compelled by the Spirit to go. He didn't listen to his mind. He wasn't led by his mind. He was following God in spite of what everyone else was saying. Don't trust your own understanding. Joshua was told to march around the walls of Jericho 7 times. You know, what kind of military strategy is that? He could have easily rationalized and said, we're going to be made fools. We could be killed. We're just vulnerable there. And yet God was saying, do it. Don't follow your own understanding, your own common sense, logic, rational mind. And so Joshua does that, and we know what happened. Abraham was told to leave all that he had to a place that God would later reveal to him. Did not even know where he was going. Up and leaves with his animals and some of his family, and he didn't even know where he was going. What kind of common sense move is that? And we find scripture full of these examples. And then the Proverbs is telling us, do not lean on your own understanding. And I think in our society and in our day and age, we are told that our minds are very capable. And they are. And God created us that way. But at the same time, we have to recognize they're one-dimensional. And God operates in different dimensions. And we need to be in tune with that. Otherwise, we're going to miss out on much of what God has for us in order to follow him. And so on June 17th of this year, and a few weeks leading up to that, Joan and I were sensing that God was telling us to pay attention. He had something else to say to us about our next training program. You see, we've been in Mexico for 8.5 years now. We've been running several programs to train missionaries, to make disciples. And they've been very encouraging, what God is doing through that. And this past year, this last 6 months, we had a group of 15 students from 7 different countries. How exciting that was, to train them and disciple them and send them back to their nations. You saw some of them on the video there. And then we hear God saying to us, I want you to pause this training program for 2015. I want you to put a hold on it for 1 year. And I, in my mind, am going, no. We've been putting all our effort into building the momentum and getting this going, and it's been hard. There's been lots of obstacles. But Lord, you've showed us, and we're seeing fruit, and now you're telling us to stop it for a year? We're going to lose all that momentum and all that effort we've put into it. And God's saying, yes, trust me. And so we shared it with our staff, and we prayed over it, and sure enough, God confirmed that that's what we were supposed to do. So we started announcing that we're not going to run a program next year, that particular training, 5-month training program. It was hard. It was hard for us to come to grips with that and to do that. We had such a great year with these 15 students from 7 different countries and from ages 19 to 29. New believers among mature believers, some non-educated students to nurses, even to a medical doctor that was a participant that Joan's going to share about. She's from Mexico. And yet God was telling us, doesn't matter. Listen to me, trust me, and I will lead you. So we gave it up, and this was just a month ago. And we're starting to see now some things that are coming our way that are starting to make sense, but still a long ways to go to understand and to fill in that gap with other things that God is bringing our way. And this is part of the journey that we're on, to lean not on our own understanding, but to follow Jesus. It requires faith. It requires a whole other dimension. And sometimes it goes against, not always, but sometimes it goes against just common sense. And so Joan's going to come up and share a story of a young lady named Jasmine. And there will be a couple of slides on the screen that she will be able to highlight as well.
Good morning. I just want to repeat those verses and add verses 7 and 8 there. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Jasmine, as you see there on the screen, is a young woman. She's 27 years old, I think soon to be 28. And she's from the southern part of Mexico, a state called Oaxaca. And most of Oaxaca is indigenous. There are different people groups living in Oaxaca, speaking a variety of different languages. And she was raised in a home who it was a middle-class to well-off home because her father had worked hard from the time he was young. He was not raised in her father and mother were not raised in wealthy homes, but rather in poor homes. And so they worked hard, and her father's business prospered. And so his desire was that his children would become educated, well-educated. He has four children, and three of them now, Jasmine and her two younger siblings, live in the city of Guadalajara. So when she was finishing high school, Jasmine was trying to decide what career she should work toward. She always felt that she wanted to help people, so she thought becoming a medical doctor would be a good choice. Her family was not a religious family. They practiced sort of a nominal religion, but they were not following God in any way. And she, when she was 18 years old, her parents drove her up to the city of Guadalajara to the very best medical university in the country, and she studied for the following years to be a doctor. As she was studying, she got into, like many young people do, into the party life, and was really engrossed in that, studying hard, but partying hard as well. And she just was not satisfied with her life. She felt like, I'm doing this, I'm working hard to get a degree in medicine, but what am I going to do with it? And all of her friends who were also studying medicine said, well, of course you're going to become rich and you're going to help people, so you'll fulfill both of your desires. And she thought that sounded okay. That's the path she was on. It sounded good to her. And she thought she could probably help people within her own country, but she wasn't, as she went on in her studies, she wasn't so concerned even about helping people because she got really absorbed in the whole life of making money, of becoming wealthy. One day, though, in her dissatisfaction, as she was walking by our church, she heard worship and she heard some part of a message. She stood at the doorway of the church or the entrance of the church for a while and listened and felt in her heart, like she told us, as she first told us her testimony, she told us that she was like feeling this desire to cry as she's standing there. And she was a kind of a tough girl. And she decided, I'm going to just go inside the church. I've never been in a Christian church before in my life. I'm going to walk in. She walked in. She sat in one of the chairs. And soon there was a time of greeting. And our church has wonderful practice, and that is to, because Latinos, as if any of you have traveled to Latin America, know Latinos are very warm and friendly, and our church is no exception to that. And so soon she had numerous people around her greeting her and hugging her and kissing her in greeting, welcoming her into the church. That was a turning point for her, because she said that she felt, even though she was surrounded by medical students, ones that she were from wealthy families, ones that knew exactly what they wanted to do in life, she felt a loneliness as she was so far from her family. So she started going to the church, kind of exploring this family experience. And meanwhile, her parents had a difficult situation happen back home. Her father, in his business, he owned a hardware store, a large hardware store and lumber shop, and he was threatened by a guerrilla group, or like a, how do you call it? A drug cartel, a group of the drug cartels operating in southern Mexico. And as she was studying so far away, about 14, 15 hours away from her family, they were struggling with these threats that they were receiving. And finally, her dad just had to leave the business, and they had to move to a safer place, to a city farther away. And that really shook up their family, because all of a sudden there's not an income coming in for her studies, but her father started working in another place and just barely could support her and her brother in their studies in Guadalajara. She said, "Wow, all of this that we work to attain, and sometimes it's just gone. It's gone from our lives. All that we think and understand to be good and the right path, sometimes it completely changes overnight." And that worried her as she became more familiar with the Word of God. She decided to give her life to God, and that was about 4 years ago. She continued her studies, she finished her studies, and as she was finishing up her studies, she began asking the Lord, "I've always had this direction in my life, that I was going to become a medical doctor and use my medicine to prosper myself, really. But do you have another plan in mind?" And as she asked that question, she felt in her heart God saying, "Of course I do. I have another plan for you." And we had the privilege of having her in our training program this past year, these last 5 months, from January to June, training for missions, training for ministry. And you should have, and I had the privilege of discipling her, of mentoring her one-on-one. We'd meet together every week, and she was a wonderful student of not only of the Word of God, but of life, asking 100 questions. How do you know when God has called you to something? How do you make the choice to live rightly before the Lord and not live according to my own understanding, but according to the Word of God and according to what He's calling me to do? God has presented her with an opportunity, and that is to go and serve in India as a medical doctor. And she's been given an invitation to go to India. And she is, as she ponders that, as she prays about it, as she feels that God is preparing her, and she's studying English now to be able to be better prepared, as she does that, she's asking these very questions: how do I trust you, Lord, and not lean on what my understanding is? This is a complete change, a divergence from what I always thought in my life and my own understanding I would do with my life. But she's excited to know that as she trusts in God, He's going to direct her path. He's going to make it clear. Perhaps it's going to be very different than what she ever expected to do. And perhaps her reason for going into medicine is very different than what God had planned for her. Maybe he wants to use her career for a very different purpose than that what she had expected. But she is willing and ready to follow him. And I just want to leave you with that challenge too. What are the things in your life, what are the things in my life that in our own understanding they seem good? In our own wisdom, they seem like they're the right things. And yet God perhaps is trying to speak to us in a different direction. Perhaps he's saying, trust me, and I will direct your paths. Let's just pray. Father, today, perhaps there are many choices before us that we think look good. Perhaps we're being counseled to take those directions. Perhaps our own mind and heart desire them, or they seem like the things that we've always thought we would do and the direction we always thought we would go in. Yet sometimes, Lord, you have very different plans for us. And it requires absolute trust. It requires living with you, listening to you. It requires responding to you. And I pray here today for this congregation in Pacific Grace and for myself, for Trevor and I, as we listen to you, as we hear from you, as we read your word, as we commune with you and talk to you in prayer. I pray, Father, that we wouldn't miss what you have for us. I pray that we would be mindful and very obedient to what you do have for us, even when it doesn't seem like others will understand or like we even ourselves understand. Lord, you are good, and your ways are good, and you have a straight path for us. I pray that you would show us how to walk that path. In your name I pray, amen.
Jasmine is an exceptional young lady who is willing to use her career to honor God and to serve God. And we had such a privilege of meeting her and helping her to move along in this path. Today she is helping lead a short-term mission that's in Mexico. It came from Winnipeg. And so she's continuing to work towards missions and use her skills. And I think eventually she's going to try to set up a practice and get a little more experience before she heads out to India. But we ask you to pray for her and for our other students that have been discipled and sent out, and for the new program that God is putting in our hearts to train more Latinos for his kingdom. I think Keith will be leading us in a response shortly, but just before that, I want to just share with you a couple other things that are happening at the Matthew Training Center. The Matthew Training Center desires to see hundreds of trained and fruitful workers serving among the nations, the many nations, making thousands of disciples in God's kingdom for his glory. So that's what you are partnering with when you pray for us and give towards our ministry. A year and a half ago, through many generous gifts, the Lord gave us the money to buy this facility just on the outskirts of Guadalajara. And so we've been spending the last year and a half in the midst of training programs, renovating it and getting it up to a place where we feel it'll be best used for training disciples. And God is also giving us another project to move forward with this. The dorms that are in the very back, the yellow dorms, they were kind of poorly made and are leaking and have mold. And so a plan has been put in motion by our board to raise funds over the next 6 months to rebuild these. And so we invite you to join in with us if you want to invest in making disciples that will go out to the nations that will be trained in this facility. We welcome your participation in that. This is what we're planning to make it into. It'll be a two-story dorm room with 24 different rooms, 16 bedrooms, and then several other rooms to accommodate our training, including bathrooms and the such. So just to help you see what we're in right now and what we want to move towards, it's quite a change, but we know that God is directing us to do that. So we invite you to join in with us, and even as part of your response of how you can invest in the lives of making disciples in Mexico through MB Mission. Thank you for allowing us to be here with you this morning, and I pray that this message of leaning not on